So you may be asking this morning, I thought we taught on giving last week. Why again? I'm not teaching on giving. I'm actually going to teach on spending less. And you're probably sitting there thinking, will these preachers stay out of my pocket? No. No, we won't, because Jesus doesn't. He's constantly in my pocket. Every time I write a check, every time I try to make a unnecessary trip to some place I really don't need to be, he's right there telling me, you know what? There's a better way. So while I'm teaching on spending less, the reality is the giving more and teaching less lessons are so tied together, we can't separate them. I started with the video because really I didn't want to talk that long this morning, and I thought that would eat up some good time. No, two people said that to me this morning, actually. I really don't care how the message is conveyed as long as it's conveyed, and I think Rob Bell in this instance does a great job of showing us how much we have. You know, we live in a society where on an average day in the middle of the summer, we're still hearing of get more. We're watching TV with the commercials hitting us with images of the things that we need to have. And now at Christmas, it's like a thousandfold. Like, we need to get that 42-inch flat screen because I cannot worship Christ without it. I can't celebrate his birth unless I have that flat screen. It is a great deal, and it's good stewardship to get it while it's on sale. And we make that deal in the back of our heads where, like, if I buy this 42-inch, I promise you I'll watch the Ten Commandments and Ben-Hur on it. That'll be, like, the first thing I watch. And at Easter, but only at Easter because this movie is so powerful it freaks me out, I'll watch The Passion of the Christ on it. And I'll be able to worship you that much more on a 42-inch flat screen. We may not really literally think like that, but think about our actions and really our mode of operation this season. Isn't almost the way it is? Or we think like this. We think of, you know what? I have to get that person this X gift. I have to make sure I spend this amount of money on them. I have to spend at least 50 on Joe, because if I spent less than 50, it'd show that I don't care. Don't we kind of do that? We put price tags on how much we love somebody. Let's be honest, isn't that a crock? I don't know about you, I'm thinking back to my childhood, and there's two Christmas presents I remember. And I'm gonna show my age in one of them, both of them, really. There was this cartoon character, Voltran. Now, is anyone old enough to remember Voltran with me? Yeah, party on, people! That was my favorite cartoon. So Voltran, he had these five guys, and it was kind of like the anime-type thing going on, And the guys would jump into these lions, and they would then come together to make big Voltron, and I got Voltron for Christmas. I remember that. And the second Christmas other gift I remember is receiving the first computer in our household, a PC Junior. Yeah, it was basically an 8-track that went into it for video games. It was kind of freaky, almost like the Atari. But I remember those, and that's it. That's the only presents I remember. And let me tell you, I don't gauge the love that my parents did or did not have for me based on those two presents. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I could tell you what presents I received last year from anyone for Christmas. Yet we put so much pressure on ourselves to give the right gifts and to give the right amount. And oh my gosh, that person gave me something, so I need to give them something now. What just happened to saying thank you? But let's reverse it. What do we feel like if we don't receive a gift from someone? Aren't we the ones putting the pressure on our loved ones to get us stuff? Yet when watching that video, I'm reminded I have all the stuff I need and well beyond. We are probably the richest nation ever, ever in the world. Even the least of our people are at best equivalent to most of the people in the world. But we want more. We want more. So I want to talk about giving less so we can give more, and when we do give, we give appropriately. How do we give during the Christmas season? Now, listen. Let's start off with, I'm not talking about cutting people out. I'm not saying don't do any gifts. Let's be honest, a lot of my family, that they're not followers of Christ, they wouldn't understand it if I just cut off their gifts at Christmas. Like, hey, I'm not giving anything this year. But man, maybe I can cut down a little bit in my family or my friends that are believers and that understand. And even with my friends that are unbelievers, maybe I can give in a different way that opens the door so I can give a bigger gift. Know what I'm saying? So while we get ready and we're talking about this, why don't you open to Acts chapter 3, page 933 in the Bibles in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, here's the cool thing. We're going to give you a Christmas present. You can take that home with you. That's cool. And you can like write notes on the side. You can do whatever you need with it. Make it your own. There's parts of it, man, it's God wrote it to you. Make messages in it. Like I put dates when God shows me cool things. So take it. It's yours. Merry Christmas. That's a way you can give and make a difference. Give someone a Bible. That always works. Some people that really freak out, let's be honest. I want to talk about first about giving in a way that makes a difference in their life. And so in Acts chapter 3, we see something here. So Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The layman looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. Can you imagine this? This man hasn't walked in his life, and he gets up and he's leaping into the temple. That is the picture of that is absolutely gorgeous to me. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. There's a couple things in this to me that speak to this of giving appropriately. You know, Peter and John, they could have went back, you know, in the chapter before we learned, you know, people had been giving everything to the church. Well, they might have not had the money on them. They had it available to them. They could have looked at this man and said, "Look, he needs money." Ran back and got some money and brought it to him, enough to sustain him for another day. But they looked deeper at a deeper need. Let's be honest, sometimes we ask for things, but what we ask for isn't really what we need in our life. We ask for things that put a Band-Aid onto the deeper need in our life. And we see it from our friends. You know, sometimes asking for that big TV, it's asking to be recognized that I'm of worth. Or that I fit in. Look, I have one like everyone else. Wouldn't our friendship do that? Isn't there other ways we can give deeper into somebody's life? And I think that's what we need to do this year, or at least for my family starting this year. Let me be completely honest. Our family, we don't have a lot of money. We're rich in the world's eyes, but not in America's eyes. But, you know, so we've cut down Christmas already. You know, it's on average, I probably give 3-4 gifts to the kids and a little something in their stocking. We don't go crazy. And for our family, we try to think really intently on what we're going to get that shows what we care but doesn't spend a lot of money. And we're forced to do that a little bit by our finances. This year, as I've studied through Invent Conspiracy, as the authors did a phenomenal job, and I urge you to go out and pick up the book. It's probably $10. It's $10 well spent. it's made me change the way I view this Christmas. And while I was always tight because I had to be, this year I'm being tight because I want to be. And there's a huge difference in my life because of that. And in previous years, I've always made gifts. You know, I have the gift of being able to cook, so I'd make a big basket of spaghetti sauce and pasta and all this stuff to make like a good dinner. Or one year we did a barbecue basket where I made the sauce and the rub and directions and this type of thing. And I used my gifts, and I want to say that's an important thing. Yeah, I know a church friend of mine up at Cuyahoga Valley, yesterday they had an Advent conspiracy party, basically, and they all came together and made gifts for their friends. Who has kids in here? Raise your hand if you have kids that are of the age to be able to make stuff. I do. It is so cool. In my office, I have like plastered all this different stuff that my kids make, and people come into my office and they think it's the coolest thing. There is nothing better than receiving a handmade gift. Although sometimes, let's be honest of our own personality, someone gives us a handmade gift, and what do we think? There's one word we think sometimes. Cheap. Let's be honest. That's what we think. We get so frustrated at this season. We get so mad that so much is expected of us, but we have the same expectations. So I'm really calling on you guys, let's break these expectations and let's look at ways we can give that make a difference into people's lives. And maybe that means I'm giving less to you or you or you. Maybe I'm just giving a card, or maybe I'm giving something small because you have everything you need. I think of buying for my father who does very well for himself. I have no clue what to buy the man. No clue whatsoever. Do you have those people in your life? You just have no clue what to buy them because they seemingly have everything? Why don't we give a little less to them so we can give more someplace else? But let me stop and put a button there, because we don't want them to think we don't love them. And let's be honest, that's what's going to happen. Why don't we give something more important than more stuff? Why don't we give our time? Why don't we spend the $50 and get tickets to the Cavs game and only give them one? Where's the other one? I have it. And you might think, oh, that's going to seem all really self-serving. Look, you got them a gift and you get to go too. Well, it's kind of cool, actually. But for me and my father, I don't spend a lot of time with my father. To be honest, I don't enjoy spending time with my father. It's something I have to work on in my life. Those that are in my small group or know me well know that's issues that I've been working on. So to spend time with my father like that is probably the greatest gift I could give. Maybe it's, who knows, a handmade card saying to your son or daughter, let's go sledding. Or take them someplace you don't want to go. Someplace you would never go. And as a married husband, I fall into this all the time when it comes time to choose a movie to go see. I end up seeing the chick flicks. That's not true. Kylie's phenomenal at letting me see the doof flicks too. But we do that sometimes. We go to where we don't want to go to show our love. That you know what, this doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but you do, so we're going to go where you want to go. Why can't we do that at Christmas too? Let's remember what this whole thing is about. We have everything we need. Most of the people we know in our lives have everything they need. So let's change some stuff up. Let's give the way that Peter gave in here, and give in a way that makes a difference, that person can celebrate. Isn't that the purpose of this year? To celebrate? To recognize, what's up, Nate? Look at him coming down. How you doing, dude? Dude's awesome. Why don't you have a seat? You want to come sit here? Sit right there, dude. No, you don't come play with this stuff, but you can sit there. Right on. Everyone, this is Nate, my son, if you didn't know. Can you say hi? No, that's all cool. You be good. Steve, if he goes for your stuff, you have my permission. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding, sort of. So let's give differently this year. Let's give in a way that makes a difference. And let me throw another monkey wrench into the way we give. Often we think of making a difference in the receiver's life. Here's my challenge for the year as I was reading the book, and something that quite honestly, through my laziness, I have never done. Give in a way that blesses those who we're buying it from. That takes some research. That takes some looking into. You know, so often we think good stewardship is buying the best thing we can at the cheapest price. I think it goes a lot deeper than that. Because that's only stewardship on my end. What about looking into, was the person we're buying from or the company we're buying from, where it was built, do they practice ethical business behaviors when it comes to children and fair wages? Are we looking into finding places where we know the money that we spent went towards something of value? If you look, there's a lot of third world countries and good mission work going on where they'll rescue people from, let's say, the sex trade industry. And they give them a trade and they sell things. Looking for those opportunities would be a great way to bless not just the person we're giving something to, but the one that was giving it to us. It's about making a difference. And if you don't believe me, let's stop for just a moment. Let's stop for just a moment and look at the whole idea of this Christ child. Let's look at the Magi's gift. So often, I think, what's your favorite Christmas carol? Does anyone have one? Get one out. You know what my mom's was? Drummer Boy, the Little Drummer Boy. And there's a beautiful picture of that, of the kid didn't have anything to give, so what'd he give? His music. The drum. He played for Jesus. And I think I would love to do that. I would love to just play or give to Jesus, to be the Magi, to be the one to lay the gift at Jesus' feet, the newborn baby. You get to. Do you know how you get to? Through this type of giving that makes a difference. Because Jesus says that which you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. That means I get to be the Magi. By giving to people that don't have, it's just like laying the gold at Jesus' feet. And the idea of this Christ child coming into this world, it was all to make a difference. I want you to close your eyes for a minute and picture God in all of his righteousness. He's perfect. He's holy. He's above all things. We see pictures that he is that he's so perfect that whenever even his angels come down, the people they fall down in fear before him. When we match us, even the best of us, next to a perfect God, our nastiness is what shows. It's like a blot of ink on a perfectly white sheet of paper. You can't help but to see it. But our God is that perfect, that beautiful. And he's above all things. He created the heavens and the earth. You can look up at the stars and be astounded at the millions of stars of the beauty, and that is only to reflect how awesome he is. That is but a mere reflection. And what did he choose to do? He came to choose to be born as one of us. We talked about spending time as part of our gift giving. He left the heavens in which he created and came down and was born in a manger. He was dependent upon a woman to breastfeed him, to change his diaper. This is the creator of everything, had to have his diaper changed. It boggles my mind at the level of giving our God went through to redeem us. And that is what we celebrate on this Christmas morning. That the divine, through things that I cannot fully comprehend, becoming man, to die in my stead and to raise again my child. Mackenzie yesterday asked me, how did Jesus become the Son of Man? And was kind of getting at, how did Mary become pregnant with Jesus? I was like, this one's going to be hard. But it's a beautiful question. He's been so good. He's never like this. You guys all have to come over to the house from now on and just sit and watch him, and I know that's how he calms down now. This is what he did. This is the reason for the season. And we say it and we get all upset over happy holidays and that Christmas is taken out of the season. Where is it in our lives? Because what Peter gave, we have the power to give. The transforming power of Jesus Christ into other people's lives. We have the power to see into their lives, to see what they need, and to give it to them. So that they dance and they rejoice. But so often when we have the opportunity, we don't. I was part of launch class last year, and Guy Stevens put it this way, and it's been something that's stuck in my head, that so often we're ready to score. Like, we've set ourselves up. This way of giving we've been talking about, the spending less, giving more, worship more fully, this lifestyle, it's going to make people ask questions of your life if you follow through with it, of why. If you go to your unbelieving family and you give differently this year, they're going to ask you why. So that's your opportunity. You're like on the goal line. And instead of going for it, what do? We kick a field goal. We chicken out of giving the true answer to it. And I say we because, darn it, I'm part of it too sometimes. You'd think, oh, he's up there, he's preaching. I chicken out sometimes too. Why? It's not a scary thing. This Christ child came into the world and saved us. God became a baby to save us. People can come up with 1,000 reasons why God might be mean. That he allows this, he allows that. Look what he did to himself within his one son, which is also him, real weird paradigm, in order to redeem us, to make all that stuff go away. And we have the opportunity to share that. So my begging of you this year, and of myself and of members of my family, when you have the opportunity this year to transform what the season is, and let's be honest, it's got to start somewhere. We have, even people that really aren't followers of Christ but are like kind of believers, they believe, okay, you know, believe in a God, and yeah, Jesus is, like, they get it, but they've never really take ownership of it. Even they get Christmas is way messed up now. I don't think there's many people in my life, if I was to say, you know what, let's do Christmas differently this year. Let's recapture Christmas. Almost everyone in my life, no matter where they are in their faith, they're going to dig that. But they're also going to ask, Mickey, what sparked this? So let's all work on this. And let's also say, okay, we're going to recapture Christmas to celebrate Christ. We're going to give differently. We're going to spend less on things that don't freaking matter. And we're going to give in ways that do. We're going to worship him in doing so. But when the opportunity comes that we can share why, we're not going to punt. We're not going to go for a field goal. We're going to tell them what's changed in our lives. Let's be honest about it. 12 men. We meet here because of 12 men that said they decided amongst them, we're going to take this message we have. Don't even think about it, dude. I see you. That's like the daddy radar going off. These 12 dudes said, we are not going to let this message stop here. And you may think it's the church's duty, it's Gateway's duty to spread the word of Christ. It's your duty, and it says so in here. You are the church. We have a lot more than 12. If 12 men, we meet here today because of 12 men, what can we 50, 60, 70 people do if we vow not to let the crazy, awesome thing God does in our presence stay with us, but be spread? This is a time of celebration. You know, we're gonna take communion in just a second. And this is what we're celebrating. We're celebrating the fact that God came down, he beat death, he was resurrected, and he did so for our behalf. So one day all this crap is history. We celebrate that. We celebrate his birth, that's when it started. So let's do things differently this year. Let's mix it up. I hope you're challenged. I know I am. We're going to pray here. Sit as long as you need to contemplate, to pray, to work through, to make amends with God or somebody else. And then come on up when you're ready to take communion. I'm going to tell you, it's cranberry juice, not grape juice. A little faux pas this morning, but it doesn't matter if you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's cranberry juice. I can't worship to cranberry juice. It was wine, like in the Bible anyway, and it's all a symbol, so don't freak out. The whole thing is it's a symbol of the blood that was shed on our behalf. So, man, I love you guys. I'm not going to be able to buy gifts for you all. I'm sorry. But it doesn't take away from the love I have for you. But I do say this to you. What I have, I give to you freely. And be it the power of Christ, or if there's something you see in my life that you need and I just kind of want, let me know. It's yours. I think that's the way we're supposed to be. Could be wrong. I kind of get that idea through reading through the Bible, though. I don't know. May we all be that giving. So I'm going to say Merry Christmas in case I'm not up here between then. And may you have an opportunity to give the greatest gift of Christ as we celebrate in our communion. Father God, you're good and you're mighty. And I love you. Lord, I am sorry for the things I've made Christmas. I'm sorry for the expectations I've put on my family and my friends. Lord, even my business I work for, that I expect things. Lord, may I change that? May I start to focus on the beauty and the majesty that is found in the manger and the baby Christ. May I have a renewed sense of awe at the steps you went through on my behalf, on the behalf of all of your creation, on the behalf of your glory. And that's what this is about. May I return to that. May I truly be a blessing and give a blessing, as in may I return heaven to earth as it should be. Guide us, Lord, as a family, as a church family, as a blood family, whatever the case may be. May you guide us into deeper worship this season. And may it be in a way that changes us, that makes us different, and that we can celebrate truly all year long. In Jesus' name, amen.